Coming up on this episode of Nintendo Cartridge Society, the second season of Castlevania for the second spookiest day of the year. It's dangerous to go alone, so the Nintendo Cartridge Society goes with you. Welcome to Nintendo Cartridge Society. My name is Patrick Ellers. I am joined, as always, by my co-host, Mark Mitchell. Mark, how's it going?
It's going great. I feel like with Halloween in the rearview mirror, It's okay for me to openly start playing Christmas music, roll down my windows at stop signs, and start blasting that baby.
Okay, now hold up. That Santa baby? Here's the thing, though. Thanksgiving is early this year. It is probably as early as it ever comes. Because the month starts on a Thursday, right? So third Thursday is only the 22nd. You can't hold out three more weeks, Mark. Because then you can do it in polite society. You don't have to be an outcast living in the Badlands for 3 years while you're playing Christmas music.
I mean, it's a fair point. I have no good rebuttal.
All right.
What can I say?
We can talk about other things that are coming up on the show.
Very quickly.
Yeah. So
barreling towards us.
Yeah. Coming right down on us right now. We better
like
get
a runaway
out of its
truck.
Way. We are going to be determining the eight, count them eight, one, two, three, the rest of the numbers, eight best NES games of all time.
And we're going to be doing that. We're going to be recording that on Monday, which means if you're listening to this on Thursday, you have precious few days. To get your email to us. And if you're listening to this after Thursday, you have even less time.
Oh my God. So you need to get on your computer or phone or iPad or other thing that sends emails and email us at NintendoCartridgeSociety@gmail.com and tell us what we absolutely need to include on this list. Because look, otherwise, Mark and I are going to try to put Marble Madness on this list. We might do it. You don't know. If you're not there to stop us, it's going to be all Marble Madness.
And if you're thinking to yourself, I don't really feel strongly about eight, that's fine.
Yeah.
We love lists of eight. We love lists of seven, all the rest of the numbers. If you have one you really want on there, if you have one that you really don't want on there,
right,
let us know.
Right, because that's all important to us. Mark and I are idiots. We will make the list up either by ourselves or with your contributions. And look, people have been contributing. So if you want your voice heard, like everyone else's voice is being heard, get in on this. Send us an email. Here's something else you can do when you email us. You can get on the list to borrow my copy of Sonic Forces,
which triumphantly returned this afternoon.
That's right. Sonic Forces came back to me. I'm amazed every time it happens.
Well, like all things you love, you have to let Sonic Forces go. And so that way it can return to you.
If it comes back to you, then it was meant to be. It is strange that this game has come back to me so many times, and I know that I am not in love with Sonic Forces. But it's weird. The universe is like, I guess you are.
Well, I think we're all in love with the borrowing program.
The borrowing program is great. If you want to get on a list to borrow this thing, write to us with your address to NintendoCartridgeSociety@gmail.com, and you go on the list, and then it comes out to you later. Perfect. That's it. We've talked about the Sonic Forces borrowing program, which is good because something else that's barreling down on us, Mark, is we've got this great episode about the second season of Castlevania with Colin J. Morris, who is returning to talk about the show again, just like he did a year ago.
That is true. And yes, as much as all of us want to listen to this conversation,
yes,
we might also be preoccupied by the Smash Brothers Ultimate Direct.
Great point.
That is happening the moment, right around the time this episode is going to be released.
That's right. We are recording this from the cozy confines of Tuesday evening. We know that by Thursday morning at 7 o'clock, 7 hours after this thing posts, there's going to be a new Smash Direct. Fear not. We will get to it. It's just we're going to be talking about it on Tuesday, right? I assume that the Grinch leak has been proved correct
or incorrect. And people are angry about it?
I don't look. By the time the final Smash Direct airs, no one will be angry anymore, right? A Smash Direct melts away anger. It unites warring countries.
It is a balm that heals.
That's right. And in these troubled, tumultuous times, Mark,
like
we all need
a bridge,
a little healing,
over
and
troubled
I think a little
water.
Love. And Smash Brothers will bring us that. In the meantime, let's do the opposite of love and talk about the new season of Castlevania with our good friend Colin J. Morris. Please welcome to Nintendo Cartridge Society, Mr. Colin J. Morris, comedian, musician, all-around great guy, friend, I would say.
Aww.
Friend of mine. I don't know. I don't want to speak for Mark.
Friend.
Friend.
We sat near each other for Black Panther, I believe.
We
which
did.
Which is a bonding experience.
We also sat next to each other for Shrimp Fest at
yes.
Red Lobster, which is also a bonding experience.
And didn't you get like the salmon or something at Shrimp Fest?
Yeah, I did. I did not get the shrimp at Shrimp Fest.
Okay. But Colin had a ton of shrimp that night, more shrimp than any one man should have at any one meal.
Yeah.
And I ran into Colin the day after Shrimp Fest, and Colin's like, oh, man, I got a bad shrimp hangover. And this is at like 6 o'clock in the evening.
Yes.
The
shrimp sweats.
I was
having shrimp sweats.
Yeah, and I was like, well, yeah, I had that this morning, too, as I also had a lot of shrimp last night. And Colin was like, no, I took leftovers home and ate it for breakfast.
I did.
Colin did double shrimp, back-to-back shrimp fests.
Here's the thing. If there's a restaurant offering you all you can eat that lets you take home doggy bags.
Which is insane.
Insane.
Yeah, I'm surprised they did that.
I couldn't believe it. I mean, I guess it's like, it was all the shrimp that was already left on the table and had been like abandoned to the elements.
Right, they can't resell it.
Yeah, exactly. So I was like, all right, let this freak take his shrimp home.
Colin, you're not here to talk about Shrimp Fest, though.
I'm not.
Even though it has already been a year and we should really go back.
We can, yeah.
We're talking about what else has it been a year in terms of?
Seasons of Castlevania, the animated series on Netflix?
Absolutely.
That's right. And it's been a year since my last appearance on Nintendo Cartridge Society.
That's right. Colin, this makes you the first return guest to the show. First and possibly only, I mean, to date only.
certainly to date.
Right, certainly to date. But, you know, we talked about the first one with you, so it seemed only right that we would bring you back to talk about Season 2, which came out on Friday. Last week, the 26th, same day as the Chilling Adventures of Sabrina.
Mm-hmm.
Chilling Adventures of Sabrina.
Yeah, no the.
No definite article in that one. Netflix doesn't care about you. They are like, here's all of our Halloween-related material. Get your reactions out to it as fast as you can. You have less than a week. It's silly to me that we're putting this out the day after Halloween.
It is silly that we're putting it out the day after Halloween, but like the day after Halloween has residual spookiness.
Mm-hmm.
Does it?
Yeah, you know, it's like it's so close to Halloween, and you know,
we got Dia de los Muertos to look forward to.
Mm-hmm.
That's not really spooky, though.
There are ghosts. Colin, where do you come down on that? Spooky or not spooky?
I find it spooky.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. We'll say it's spooky.
Any religious event, I tend to find spooky.
That's a good point.
That's a good point, though. I think you guys are fine. November 1st for Halloween?
Yeah.
That's
close enough.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah. If anyone's upset that we're putting out spooky material the day after Halloween,
I blame Netflix.
Yeah, thank you. Blame Netflix.
It's really not enough time.
So, to recap our general feelings on Season 1, everyone should go back and listen in detail to...
Listen in detail?
To, you know, how we felt about it.
Sure.
But just, you know, the cliff notes.
I think, well, so I did not go back and listen to our impressions.
Oh, no, I have no idea how I felt at the time, but I know how I think I felt.
You just teed us up for...
Well,
to recap,
I
have no information about what we said last time.
I always assume that you guys are, you know, going to lift me up from my terrible ideas.
Yes.
Yeah.
I think, and correct me if I'm wrong, that we thought it had some interesting ideas, especially in the beginning. That the conceit of like a heartbroken Dracula is something that we sort of dig,
mm-hmm.
but that the show revels too much in its ability to swear and show gore to really make any sort of mature statement about anything.
And my memory was that for 4 episodes, nothing interesting happened.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes, I will agree. Except for the first episode, which I still think is good, which is the one that's all flashback to Lisa meeting Dracula, them sort of like having a little bit of a courtship, and then like she dies off camera, right? And then they like storm Dracula, because we see what happens to Lisa in the first episode of this season.
They don't show her burning at the stake. Maybe I'm
maybe they do. Maybe they do.
They do. I'm pretty sure.
Yeah.
They show her burning at the stake, and then like Dracula shows up like right at the end or something.
Yeah,
like one of those typical like, oh, I missed my son's baseball game by 30 seconds because I was busy at the office, except his wife was burning at the stake.
Yeah.
This man and can transport through space and time.
Right. And then she makes a wish that he can't tell a lie. Is that how it?
Jim Carrey
is Dracula.
That would be great.
That would be great.
That would be so good.
That would be great.
Are we talking like prime Jim Carrey or like modern day Jim Carrey?
I want to see modern day Jim Carrey, especially if it's like sad Dracula.
If it was modern day Jim Carrey, I don't know how it could be anything but.
He's kind of a real life sad Dracula at this point.
Yeah, that's accurate.
He's like a magical guy who's just clearly very upset.
So, but did I characterize our reactions to the first season appropriately?
That's my memory of our reactions for sure.
I think, honestly, I feel like the only thing that carried me through the first season.
To the extent that you were carried through the first season.
To the extent that I was carried through first season was the amount of gore.
Because interesting.
I didn't really find it that interesting. The first episode was great, and I love the Dracula stuff. One of the major problems I had with it was when they leave Dracula and then go and start introducing all the other characters and stuff like that, who I just didn't find all that good.
No, and the entire time you're waiting for them to get to the fireworks factory.
Yes!
Yes, yeah.
And they never did in the first season.
It's a classic Itchy and Scratchy and Poochie show scenario where we just want to know when Trevor Belmont is going to fight Dracula, and it doesn't happen.
Never happens. You have one job as a Castlevania show.
Yeah.
That's right. Yeah. Get to the fireworks factory.
Start at the castle. Start at the castle.
Start at the castle. So from watching the second season, I think a lot of the problem for me, like retroactively in the first season, and the same problem I have in the second season, is that I find our heroes to be boring. Our heroes are bad, boring characters, with the maybe exception of Alucard. Maybe.
Maybe.
Maybe. But even that is mostly like, I like him because he's Dracula's son and not for like any of his own qualities.
I kind of think the reason that it's boring is that it's so one note.
Yes.
Like every interaction these characters have is basically the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
Like Alucard and Trevor like giving each other a hard time. You can tell they really like each other.
Yeah, they do a lot of shoulder punching between those two boys, don't they?
Let me ask you this. Do you ship it?
No, I don't ship anyone on this show. To jump to the very end, I do like what's her name? Evil Carmilla.
Carmilla, yeah.
And her new little slave toy.
And Hector?
Yeah, I like that. That's a fun relationship.
It is a little bit hot when that collar slaps on him at the end.
And all the guards are like surrounding him. And every time he tries to get away, they push him back towards her. I'm like, all right, yeah. This is,
yeah, like, I can see the appeal of this. By the end of the second season, the show seems to be shipping Trevor and Sypha.
Mm-hmm. She's way into it.
She's way into it. I couldn't care less.
Well, I was actually kind of surprised at how rote that entire relationship is.
Yeah.
And at like the very end, when they basically have a talk like right out of like Sleepless in Seattle or
when they're sitting up on that little hill,
kind of, you know, where it's just like, I feel like we can build a great life together. And he's like, well, I didn't see myself doing this, but yeah, I guess I do. Like it's the end of like a Louis L'Amour novel.
Well, I'm like, what else is he going to do? right?
He like, says literally that.
Yeah.
He says, I will date you because I can't think of anything else to do.
Date you / monster hunt with you.
Yeah, that's, I mean, it's pretty rad.
Right. What
anyone?
Else?
It should be. It should be so rad. And it's not. It's very, very not rad.
Yeah, well, here's the thing. So these characters, Trevor and Alucard and Sypha, someone help me.
I don't Sypha, care.
No one cares.
No one cares. They spend half of this season in the library.
Mm. Yeah, of the Belmont Manor.
Yeah. Right.
But the first quarter of the season before that, looking for it. So don't count them completely out.
Yeah. Okay. Do we need to approach this thing like in order or like how? Well, because generally speaking, I liked this season a lot more than I liked the first season. And I find the characters in Dracula's army to be interesting characters. I like Isaac. I like Hector. I like Carmilla. And I like Dracula.
Mm-hmm. What's the other guy's name? God.
Like Godboat or something?
God.
He loves boats.
He loves boats. That's his, like,
that actually.
Godbrand. Godbrand.
Godbrand.
Yeah. Of the. So just in a general thing, I found this, like, its attempts at humor to be complete misses.
They don't work.
Every
yeah.
time. Every yeah. time. And, like, when the characters would laugh, that made me the maddest, because it's like.
When a bad comedian laughs at their own joke.
Yeah, exactly.
The one thing that yeah. got me, even though I saw it from, like, a mile away, still appreciated it, was when Sypha teleports Dracula's castle and is, like, so proud of herself, but she had teleported it right on top of Belmont Manor.
Yeah.
And, like, her realization, like, yeah. I liked it. Yeah. I enjoyed it. I appreciated that.
Mm-hmm. There wasn't any payoff from that, though, because she's like...
No, none at all.
Like, they imply as though it is going to collapse the manor and the enormous library that's underneath it, but then it just doesn't happen.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They're just fine.
That's just a double... It's a duplex.
Right, yeah.
It's a
just
duplex for
one
castles.
On top. That's right. One above ground, one underground.
Yeah, exactly.
I think the acting on this show is around the board awful. Right?
I totally agree. I mean, I did like Godbrand, though.
I like Godbrand, too. But I think any of the good characterization in this show is exclusively from the writing. Like, I don't think that there's... any part of, like, I don't think the animation does character acting very well.
Mm.
And it sounds to me like all of these actors, like, had zero stake in, like, recording any of these lines or even really understood. Like, there would be punchlines to jokes that didn't sound like punchlines to jokes. There would be people arguing with other people. It didn't sound like they cared what they were saying.
Yeah.
Like, all of the performance in this is, like, flat as all get out.
Yeah. It seems like the producers may have hired everyone on, like, Fiverr or something.
There's some big names in this, though. And, like, you'd never
are
know.
There?
Well, yeah, so Richard Armitage is Trevor Belmont.
Who you'll probably remember, he was the sexy dwarf from
he's
The
Thorin,
Hobbit, right?
Thorin from The Hobbit.
Uh-huh.
James Callis from Battlestar Galactica is Alucard. The Godbrand is Peter Stormare, who's this dude from Fargo.
Oh, okay.
From the movie Fargo.
Yeah.
So, like, there are some names in this thing.
Yeah.
But, like, none of it comes across as, like, that an actor.
Yeah, nobody was invested.
Cared about this.
Yeah.
Which, like, once I was like, I can't engage this thing on the level that I would engage a normal. Like movie or TV show, I have to look at it as though it's like an action comic with voice acting.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
As an action comic with voice acting, it's not bad.
Well, I mean, action comics are not good.
That's a great point. So I'm setting the bar low.
So my problem with the first, like, I liked one episode. I liked one and a half episodes of this season. Like, actually, because the entire time I had it on, and was playing Super Mario Odyssey on my Switch, so I was half paying attention, except for one episode that actually made me put down my Switch and watch it.
Was
and
it
that
episode
was,
7?
That was episode 7, where they finally got to the fireworks factory.
Mm-hmm.
But,
yeah.
but up to that point, I think just as a general rule of thumb, nobody wants, like, political machinations in your Star Wars or in your... Mm. like Castlevania. Don't need it. Do not care about this war on the humans that everybody's talking about that makes no sense. Don't really care about the humans that are like, yeah, I'll like kill all humans.
Mm.
I like the humans that are like, I'll kill all the humans. I thought that they had interesting enough backstories that like I was into them both. And I don't know. I thought they both had cool designs.
I thought Isaac.
Isaac, yeah. Isaac was the like skinny bald guy.
Yeah, you know? I thought he was cool.
I thought he was cool too, and I like the other one, Hector. Mm-hmm. Because I like that half-faced dog that he has.
I was going to say the little zombie kitties and stuff that he makes.
Yeah, I think that's cool.
I kind of tripped out when I saw that little pug like walking up to him. I was like, that's kind of fun.
That pug's only got one eye.
Yeah.
So those guys, I can see where you don't have to love them, obviously. But I thought they were sort of neat. And Godbrand, I think we can talk more about Godbrand. Because, like, I don't know, I like having a sort of, like, disgruntled vampire that's like,
sure,
why are we even planning this war?
Right.
Why don't we just go mess stuff up?
And I don't think that there's, like, no place for, like, the sort of political intrigue and that stuff. I think the difference between, like, Star Wars, Clone Wars, and, like, this, and then, say, something like Game of Thrones, where it's very political, or, like, another example.
Perfect, yeah.
Yeah, that, you know, that one.
Right. Another perfect example.
I just think it was bad. It's a quality issue.
Yeah.
Because, like, with the political stuff and all these vampire clans coming together to talk about why they're fighting the war and how they're going to fight it, at least there was something to talk about. Because otherwise, what was going on in the show?
I am amazed just in general that, like, the first season was four like half hour episodes.
Yeah.
And that felt like a million years. This was eight half hour episodes, and it still felt like there was so much filler.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
sure.
When I clicked on the Netflix link to watch it in preparation for the show and I saw that it was eight, I rolled my eyes out of my skull.
It's like, okay, because like I guess in general that what I want from a Castlevania show is like Trevor Belmont going through Dracula's castle, eventually confronting Dracula.
Whipping stuff.
Like, yeah, like that. Mm-hmm. That's what I wanted. And we finally got that in episode 7. But the thing to me is that all of this other stuff, it didn't really feel like there was a point of view to it. It's not like it didn't feel to me like Warren Ellis was like deep, had something to say about any of the stuff that goes on in the show. And so I'm like, why are we doing this?
Yeah, I mean, I guess I'll agree that I don't see a particularly strong point of view there, but like, I don't know, for me, just having the characters that were like a little bit more well-rounded, and I guess I am comparing them to Trevor and Alucard, Isaac and Hector and Godbrand all seem to have like different things motivating them that weren't just like, I am a vampire, I bite this, I'm a vampire hunter, I kill the things who bite.
Right, and even Dracula was fairly, I mean, no, he was completely one note.
Yeah, he's totally one note. Mm-hmm. And this is not a dead and loving it situation. He is dead and miserable about it.
Right, and how are we supposed to love it if you don't love it, Dracula? Well, in Dracula, everybody talks up Dracula as like, he's a genius, we need his genius and all this kind of stuff. But
yeah.
Isaac is the one that's kind of holding everything together at the end.
And Carmella knew it.
Yeah.
She was like, we don't need this Dracula. She was playing the get rid of Dracula game from the second she showed up, which isn't until episode 5. And she's like the most interesting character.
See, but I think this is neat. I like the idea that Dracula is on this like weird suicide mission that like he doesn't even know the point of like why he's waging this war other than like he was wronged and like has to do something.
Okay.
And then the rest of the vampires are like, well, wait a minute, we still have like agendas and like need to feed on people or, you know, whatever. Like we also don't want to go to war for no reason. And Dracula is like, no, this is what we do. This is the thing that'll end me. And that's, then he'll actually be dead and loving it.
Right, right. And it was, I was actually kind of having a really hard time tracking Dracula's motivation because he was so, and they framed it as like, oh, he's lying to Hector to get Hector to do his bidding. But it was like every time they had a conversation about what Dracula wanted, he had a complete different answer for it. Did he want to just genocide the humans? Did he want to punish them for what they did? Did he not care if they suffered? Like, it was all over the map with him.
Mm-hmm.
I couldn't track it. But it was kind of like what you were saying. I was looking at my phone a lot of the time that I was watching the show.
Which seems insane to me for a show based on Castlevania.
Well, wait. Why does that seem insane? Because it's based on Castlevania.
It's the first game is just like the idea is, hey, what if like a dude with a whip went through Dracula's castle and ran into all of Universal's movie monsters?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. I mean, the premise of the first game is, what if we could rip off these things without actually ripping them off?
Basically, what I'm saying is, I think like there should be a like some amount of fun.
Mm.
In a Castlevania series,
mm-hmm.
because the series is inherently ridiculous. And so, mm-hmm. and I don't think it ever really pays that off.
Well, I wonder if, because I agree with that, like, in its conception, and so, in, like, the video game series conception, that it's, like, a ridiculous thing, and that's probably how we engaged with it. Maybe not as kids. As kids, we were probably like, "Whoa, cool! Whoa, cool! Wolfman!" and then, like, as adults, be like, "Oh, I can see that this is like a silly or like sort of a pastiche of all of these like horror tropes." But I don't know if. Do you think that that is actually present in like the later Castlevania games? Is like actually built into the DNA of Castlevania to be silly, or is that something that we are able to like project onto it from adulthood, like back into our childhoods?
I mean, I definitely think it's fair to say that like modern day Castlevania was deeply serious. Like if you played either like Lords of Shadow or Lord of Shadows or whatever the
PS3
the
one?
PS3 like reboot was, like that game was way up its own rear end.
Yeah, and I mean I remember that being true of like Castlevania 64. Just unplayable anyway, but also being like super self-serious and all that, which I think like, so I guess I don't know, right? Like if we are saying the Castlevania show should be a campy mess.
I don't think it should be a campy mess. I guess I kind of have the same problem with this that I have with like Christopher Nolan's Batman movies, where like the premise to me, this is my like the baggage I am bringing to it, is like inherently ridiculous,
right?
And so it can still be serious but like acknowledge the ridiculousness of the premise and like have a sense of humor about itself.
Mm-hmm.
With
yeah.
that, I don't think it has to be campy.
At some point, you have to mention that a grown man is wearing a cape.
Kind of, or, you know, like, at least engage with it on that level.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
sure.
Understand yeah. that, like, where it is birthed from, if nothing else.
Right. Otherwise, it feels almost, especially in the case of Batman, like, intellectually dishonest to be like, well, a man in a cape is fighting a dude with a gas mask on his face.
And at no point
yeah.
is anybody going to be like, huh.
Yeah, I wonder how that manifests in a show like how it could manifest in a show like Castlevania. Like unless it is just, I mean, maybe you do it as like the Castlevania show meets Scott Pilgrim and you just make the action like crazy.
Yeah. I mean, that I think that would appeal maybe to the group of people sitting at this table. More
right.
humorous minded, less self-serious. We're not like exactly the Hot Topic crowd that I think this show is aimed at, or, you know, the later games and stuff like that.
Right. Your fingernails are black right now.
My fingernails are painted black right now. That okay. was for a music video. That doesn't count.
All right, all right.
I do not own nail polish remover. It's going to have to just come off by its own accord at some point.
Colin, I live with a woman, my girlfriend.
Uh-huh.
Would you like nail polish remover?
Yeah, sure. Maybe okay. after the show. Yeah. We don't have to stop down or anything.
I say we just do it right now on mic. I think it'll be compelling radio. But I
agree with your point. Like, mm-hmm. I acknowledge that what I want out of the show isn't necessarily what anybody who's creating this show, you know, like had in mind or was driving at. But for me, that's like a big hurdle that I have difficulty overcoming.
Right.
So let me ask you guys this. If this goes on to, because I feel like the general reception, everything that I've read, like people reacting to this have been pretty positive. If there is a third season of this, are you interested in watching it? Pretend this show doesn't exist.
I was going to say, I mean, I want to go for the three-peat, right. Certainly. I
mean, we all want that. Did you say my name? are you interested in pursuing this show and these characters further? Or are you like, this can I get off the trolley here?
I've got to say, like, so in the seventh episode, Sifa, Trevor, and Alucard finally get to Dracula's castle and finally, like, it's almost cathartic after like so many episodes of it not happening. They take down like all of the vampire generals or
it
whatever.
It all happens at once.
It all happens at once. And then there's like a big action sequence. And finally they confront Dracula and they kill him for seemingly good. And the eighth episode is kind of spent setting up the pieces that can be moved into place for a third season.
Yeah.
And I felt this way after the second season, or after the first season, that you're kind of like, oh, they're finally getting to like a new and like interesting place.
Yeah.
And I feel that same way at the end of the second one. You know, you have Isaac.
Right. Mm-hmm. Seemingly starting his own zombie army.
Uh-huh. And you have like Alucard, who seems like he's dealing with a lot of baggage. He killed his father.
That's right. His father, who is like maybe still a ghost stalking through the castle.
Yeah, when he appeared to him as that specter, I was just kind of like, oh, I knew they weren't going to kill him. And then he like disappeared. I'm like, oh.
Yeah, no, I think that's like a Green Goblin type situation.
But I mean, can they really?
He's always just from time to time going to like look in the mirror and see Willem Dafoe's face.
Yeah.
I hate when that happens. That's usually when I'm having a shrimp hangover, though.
Yes. Usually take a nice shower, a nice long shower. It'll get rid of that.
See Willem Dafoe in
there. Right. So it seems like they're driving towards something that might be interesting for season three, but maybe it's been demonstrated that we'll get to that interesting thing in season three 75% of the way through it.
Right. Episode 11, because they're going to add more episodes. 4 additional episodes each year. I think if so outside of wanting to come and talk to you guys about it, because it's very fun.
Right.
I would probably just text you and ask which of the two episodes I should watch.
Which
are
the good
ones? Yeah.
Presumably
the last two. And like, is as interesting as like episode 8 was with sort of like what's going to happen next. It was like, do I need an entire 30-minute epilogue to this story that went pretty much nowhere?
Yeah. Yeah, yes.
Yes, I do.
Yeah, yes, you do, because that's what they've given you, Colin.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to decide like how I feel about a third episode or a third season.
Mm-hmm. Which, by the way, according to the wiki, is coming.
Is in development. Yes. All right, I guess it's inevitable. I mean, we're going to do it for this show because we like each other. And episode topics are hard to come by. And all things told, this is a pretty inexpensive, quick one to do. Go ahead to buy a game. Don't have to come up with a list of anything. I don't know. I think I liked this more than you guys did. But I will concede that it is too slow, and I obviously have my complaints about the performances.
Mm-hmm.
Can I register another complaint about the show that I don't know how to organically transition to?
This is great. This is a wonderful transition.
Asking if I can do it. The sound design in this thing doesn't make any sense to me.
Okay.
Because there are often music cues. First of all, the music is totally unremarkable in this, right? But there are music cues that are frequently too loud that like drown out the dialogue. Sound effects also seem like they don't really match up with what's happening on screen. Like there's a weird sonic wall between me and the world of the show that I don't understand why it's as bad as it is. Mm-hmm. Like, I want it to feel engaging and real. And the show's like, oh, we've got one pulling a sword out of a sheath sound effect, and we've got one splattering a head with a horse's hoof sound effect, and we'll just play those both on repeat.
Yeah.
Yeah, the whole show does really feel like it was made for pennies.
Yeah.
Like, change fell out of somebody's pocket, and they were mm-hmm. like, we could make it 8 episodes of a show with this.
Yeah, someone counting quarters and being like, what does Richard Armitage charge?
Well, apparently, again, according to the wiki,
yes.
I guess this show originally went into development in, like, 2007 and has been kind of in a, like, hellish production limbo for a decade.
Yeah.
And this is what they were able to get out to Netflix, I think, probably to justify whatever cost Netflix was willing to pay them for it. Yeah, I mean, I'm going to go ahead and say it. It's not quality entertainment. Yeah.
To me, it just feels like it's a lot of, like, throat clearing. And, you know, and it's like a pop song that just, like, never really, like, takes off. Like, it has all the ingredients and occasionally, like, the chorus is good, mm-hmm. but there's no, like, power behind it.
Yeah. Yeah, that makes sense to me. And I guess it's consistent with, like, how I feel about it, too. That, like, there's not a lot to hang on to.
Right.
Like, it's fine. It's fine. It's
yeah,
fine.
But I mean, that's
it's fine.
Yeah,
it's
but
fine.
What kind of it's statement fine. Is that about anything? It's fine. Like, I don't know.
You know, there's so much entertainment out there in the world. This is just one of them.
Yeah. Well, Colin, you brought us a piece of entertainment.
Yes, I did.
Do you want to talk about what this is?
Yeah, so this is a new single from the monster band Drac and the Swamp Rats.
Now, you work pretty closely with Drac and the Swamp
Rats,
right?
Yeah, like we were talking about last year when I was on, I've directed some music videos, I've helped produce some of the songs, stuff like that.
Right, and who's in this band?
So this band is led by Dracula.
Okay.
And this is much more like a fun Dracula.
A dead and loving it situation.
This is a dead and loving it. This is a party Dracula. This is a Dracula that wants to just, like, you know, drink your blood and have a good time, knock back a couple of bloodlights and things like that. Yeah, he's a fun Dracula. He's not a sad boy Dracula.
Yeah.
And then lead guitar is done by the Wolfman.
Great.
The Mummy plays bass. Frankenstein's Creation is the drummer. And there is a lab assistant, Igor, who plays theremin. This is serious business, you guys.
Yeah, that sounds serious. Those are some scary customers we're talking about.
These are tough cookies. Yeah. So anyway, they're a monster band, party rock, garage rock, sort of punkish. But this is a new single from them that I helped produce, and then also you can check out the music video that I directed for them, and that's on YouTube. Just search Drac and the Swamp Rats, you'll find it.
It's what's the name of the song?
So this is Watching You Die, which is the newest single from Drac and the Swamp Rats.
Cool. And Colin, we'll play it after we say goodbye to you. Mm-hmm. Is there anything that you would, other than of course this Drac video that you directed, is there anything else you would like to plug?
Yeah, well, I mean, if I don't know if you guys like listening to Patrick and I have conversations about ridiculous stuff. But,
that's right. I did earlier ask if you shipped something.
Yeah, you did.
Yeah.
Yeah, so Patrick and I do a podcast with two of our friends called Same Day Shipping. And that is a podcast about real love and fake relationships, where we talk about all the reasons why we can't stand Trevor and Alucard and things like that.
We should do that on the next episode.
Actually, yeah, we could totally talk about that. Let's not let this train roll. Train stop rolling. And then, you know, maybe like, you know, Mark and I will go see a movie or something together. You could come see us sitting next to each other at the Vista.
Yeah, you plug in Shrimp Fest this
yeah,
year.
Yeah, Shrimp Fest.
Well, Colin, this is a great tradition, and even if we hate season 3, I think we have to come back
we
and do it again
to.
Next
year. We have to, for sure.
All right, I agree to these terms. I love it.
Colin, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you, guys.
Okay, that's going to do it for this episode of the show. If you enjoyed it, please rate, review, subscribe, all that good stuff on Apple Podcasts.
And if you watched Castlevania season 2...
Yeah.
And do you fall more on my side of things? Do you fall more on Patrick's side of things. Take a stand.
Do you even remember Colin's side of things? You can email us. I would like to know how other people are liking this thing. I mentioned during our conversation that it seems like it's been getting pretty positive reviews. But if that's not your experience, I'd like to know that. Nintendo Cartridge Society at gmail.com. And most importantly, are you excited for Season 3? Great. You can follow us on Twitter. I'm at Patrick_Ellers. Mark is at MKE Mitchell. The show is at Nincart Society. The Facebook page is just Nintendo Cartridge Society, which is easy to remember.
That's it, baby.
It's the name of the show. And you should check out Drac and the Swamp Rats. Our theme music is normally provided by 8-Bit Betty, and it has been this whole episode, but we are not going to play our closing theme today. Instead, we are going to be played out by the Drac and the Swamp Rats' new single, Watching You Die.
Hell no one.